chapter 10. And beginning, John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. These are the words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Jesus is referring to himself as the good shepherd. And he's also saying that he has laid down his life for the sheep. And he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. He's referring to Jew and then Gentiles. And so what Jesus is saying is for the whole entire world. For every country, for every peoples, for every language. Whether they have isolated themselves as this one tribe has done near India, and they have killed anyone that has tried to approach this tribe, they've chosen to exclude themselves from the world. But Jesus is still Lord over everyone. He is the good shepherd. It's up to us to receive his word for us. And in Jesus, there is no lie. If he has said he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the good shepherd over all people, that means he is. Otherwise, he is a liar and everything that he says is untrue. There is no, you can only take part of what Jesus says and accept that. No, we must take him all the way. Correct? I don't ask for amens, but can I hear an amen to that? Amen. That means we're in agreement when we say amen. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. You and I were not made to be people who are alone. That's why church is so important. I mean, if I add both our services together today, you know, we're somewhere close to about 80 folks here, 70 to 80 folks here. On a summertime and in the holiday, with a few folks that I know have come to both services, but a handful. But that's wonderful. But we're made to be in communion with God. Remember in the Old Testament, Adam walked with God. Daily walked with God. That means they communed. They talked with one another. They knew one another. They laughed. They spoke. It was relationship. Just as when we get together with each other, whether it's a fellowship meal, whether it's worship service, whether it's in a mission activity, whatever it is, when we gather together, we're gathering together as the body of Christian believers who believes that Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And He's made us for relationship. And holy relationship. Not that kind of relationship that, you know, that puts a world's tone onto it. We need to be thinking as what God has authored for you and me. Some of you have heard this gentleman's name, Richard Pernacki. He is the guy who went to live in Alaska when he was 51 years old and lived there for 30 years. You'll see him on PBS shows. And he was able to make his own jam from berries that he collected. He was able to make his own spoon or a door that shut. And he made his own cabin. And he went there at 51 years of age and left there at about 81 years. But he was alone this whole time. Well, not nearly. He actually went to visit family some. And he had a guy that flew an airplane into the area and delivered supplies to him. And, of course, they conversed. But for the most part, he was alone every night, alone. I can't imagine that. It's scary to me to imagine that, being alone like that. Never having someone that you could just call up and converse. Never having someone that you could shake a hand or give a hug to. You know, someone that you could laugh with or tell a joke or hear something or converse about the latest football game or do something where you're going off with kids to a certain activity. That would be kind of sad, wouldn't it? Think about that. Just imagine yourself alone for the next year. It gets awfully quiet, doesn't it? It gets very lonely. The people of this world have made themselves alone and separated from the voice of God. When God so desires and has given His life for that continued relationship with Him. Now, I know none of us here are perfect, including me. But don't you go through your day, thinking about God? Don't you go through your day thinking about maybe it was the scriptures you read or that you recall or someone that needs prayer or some need in your life and you turn to God in that moment of prayer, a relationship with God. And our gathering here is also our gathering to know that God didn't make us to be alone. He is the good shepherd. A good shepherd is shepherd over sheep. Sheep that is being taken care of by the shepherd, you see. And they know His voice. And they know Him to be true and trustworthy. You and I were not made to be alone and nurtureless, but we were made for the love of God. In the early 1900s, there was an orphanage built in South America. And in this orphanage, they wanted to make sure that all the children there, especially the infants and the toddlers, were well taken care of, that they got their diapers changed. Well, they probably didn't have diapers, but they got whatever needed to be changed when it needed to be changed. They had a nice bed for them and blankets and food that was always, you know, fed on time and all of that sort of thing. And so they were given all the creature comforts that they needed to live and exist. But they noticed that over time that more of these children were dying than were out in the regular world. And they wanted to know why. And they come to figure out it was this. None of the children, even though they were fed on time and their diapers were changed and they were put to sleep and so forth and so on and taken care of in so many ways, they were never, when they cried, being picked up and cuddled. They were never read to at night. They never had someone come in and say their prayers with them. They never had that human touch that we're made for. And so because they were, in essence, abandoned, taken care of, but abandoned emotionally, many of them died for the lack of love. You see, we were made for relationship with one another. And in doing so, that we have done it to the least of these, we have done it unto the Lord. We are made for relationship with God and God with us. And thank God that He is a caring and loving God. There is no ill will in God. There is no evil in God. You and I were not made to be abandoned, but we were made for a relationship with Him and to attune ourselves unto hearing the Word of God and to hearing Him in our lives and to know that He's always around us. We just need to attune to hear Him and to see Him in Scripture, in one another, in places where we go to sense God's presence in our lives and His purpose for us. A woman that was sharing her testimony online, she was sharing about going to a store, and she bought her groceries and she paid cash for her groceries and she got her change back, some $3 and some change, and put it in her pocket or purse. And as she was going out the door with the groceries, she noticed there was a man off to the side. And she just felt the strong nudge from God saying, "Give him your money." And she reached in her purse and she pulled out that $3 and some change and thought, well, that's not even going to buy diapers if he needs diapers. That's not even going to buy anything to help him out any. And so she just reasoned herself away from listening to God there and went on to her car. But as she was going on to her car, she heard again that nudge in her heart that said, "Go and find all the money that's in your car and give it to him." And so she goes to her car. And she rifles around and eventually she finds another $30. And so with the $33 and some change, she rolled down her window and she motioned to the guy, to the gentleman, to come here. Now, this guy wasn't somebody that was holding a sign. He wasn't somebody who was a regular person at the street corner or at the market begging for money. He wasn't one of those persons. This was a one-time thing. And so he comes to her and she says, "Here, take this." And he took it and she noticed that he had a Bible in his hands. And so she inquired about him and she said, "Yes." And he responded to her saying this, "I was in need and I prayed to God and he told me to come here and that someone would give me what I needed." Now, this isn't someone, keep in mind, this isn't someone who's on the street corner with a sign day after day. This is someone who listened and someone else who listened and God became present and alive, you see. God has told us He will never abandon us. Never, ever abandon us. Even though He on the cross had to say, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" to see the true result of our sin, which is separation from God, he has made for us union with him. Now, I shared this in the early service. I didn't ask permission, so I'm going to do it again without permission. When we attune ourselves to God, then we're listening to where God can act. And sometimes we are attuned to God and we hear him and we don't act. We do that, don't we? We have heard God. He's asked us to do something. He's compelled it in our heart somewhere. We might not have heard an audible voice. We might not have, seen it written and plastered on a billboard. But we've heard God speak to us, and we've kind of, like this lady did to begin with, go, this is not going to be helpful. But how much God displays his love and his relationship with us when we attune ourselves to listening to him. We have people in this church today, a result of people of this church attuning themselves to listen to God. Steve and Misa back here, you're here as a result of Tom and Pam driving by and seeing y'all broken down not far from here. And they felt God's tug to go help. I'm not trying to embarrass y'all or anything, but am I embarrassing you, Tom?
I'll add something.
Okay.
Not about Pam, but Pam and I were coming back from Vision Ford, and we stopped in Tacoma, Georgia, Burger King. And we were sitting there eating, and
this was last Saturday.
This guy walked over, and he was polite. He asked if he could give us this. It was a napkin. And on that napkin, he had written the pathway to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It was for his church. I don't know what church it was at. But yeah. He had sat down in that restaurant, and he probably had 20 or 30 napkins where he had written all of that down, and he was passing them out at the Burger King. And I thought about that. And we're taught in Scripture to be mindful. All right. That guy, and this is an analogy, was booming where he was at. I mean, he was doing what he thought he should do as far as working for God. And I was really impressed by that.
Mm.
He had wherewithal to sit down and write this. He didn't have anything but a ballpoint pen and those napkins, but he had it in his mind, in his heart. And he wrote what was there, and he was passing around with the Burger King. And kudos to the Burger King for letting him do it. But I'm thinking, do we as Christians, do we really bloom where we are? Do we do what's in front of us? Or are we more looking for the wind?
Amen. Amen. Let me take it back over. Otherwise, David is going to get on to me when I go 10 minutes past 12:30. All right. But the thing about it is listening and attuning ourselves to what God's wanting us to do. And for him, it may have been writing the scriptures on napkins. For you, it was seeing people broken down. And I don't say for everybody to see somebody broken down to help them. But if God is leading you to do that, then do so. And y'all did. And you pointed to this church and said, come visit us. And they did. And after a few years, they're here regularly. And that's because someone attuned themselves to listening to God's holy word. We're built for relationship. You see, we're built for relationship and to let us know that God has not abandoned us, that he's always here. He's always present. He's always trying to lead us to being his hands, his feet, to those around us, so that people will know that the love of God is truly, truly present. You and I were not made to be abandoned by God. And that's why he's able to call his sheep and we hear his voice. Now, I, as a young man in my teens, I had the responsibility from about 12 years of age to about 20 of feeding cattle. And not only ours, but my grandfather's as well. And so I would go down to my grandfather's, and even when I didn't have a license, I could drive the truck on the farm. So that's where I learned how to drive. And so I would crank up the truck, go get the hay with my grandfather, and load it up, open up the gate, rattle the chain, and go inside. And then I would yell out at some point where we got ready to start throwing the hay off the back, and my grandfather would just kind of slowly let off the brake and let it roll as I threw the hay out the back of the truck. And I'd go, "Soak, cow, soak, soak, soak," like that. Yes, I know it sounds funny. I had a friend that lived down the road, heard me, and told me at school one time, "Was that you yelling out at the?" I said, "Yeah, I was calling the cows." Well, they learned that voice. They learned that call. And the interesting thing is, over time, they didn't wait for me to even call. So attuned had they learned, they eventually learned that when I drove through, drove through the gate, they heard the rattle of the chain, and you'd hear them bellowing, and all that kind of stuff. That's my interpretation of how cows sound. Okay, they start bellowing, and every one of them run from the farthest hill over. They'd run. And then they get where they heard me going into the old chicken house to get the hay out. They'd hear. And then they'd get to the point where they would hear me crank up the truck. Just crank up the truck. And here they'd start bellowing. And I couldn't even get through the fence sometimes. There was one big old bull that just decided he was going to butt the truck, right there. And you're not going to win this one. But they so attune themselves. That's how we need to be. We need to attune ourselves to hearing God's word, where he's saying, "Do this." Where he may be saying, "Spend time in his word." Where he may be saying, "Say a kind word to this person today." I had someone call me, not from this church, just somebody out of the blue from the conference called me and said, "God was telling me you needed a word of encouragement." And they gave me that. And it was a blessing. And I recognized it as that. God may be calling you to do so many things. He calls you together here as the body of Christian believers so that we can love on one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another, be a blessing to one another. And in so doing, we are living out a relationship with God. Just as Adam walked with God and God walked with Adam, we are living out that relationship with him. I believe, Milton sang a song for the offertory today. I don't think he just chose that out of the blue. I think he was listening to God and saying, "This is what needs to be sung today." It's It's about ourselves attuning ourselves to the one who is the good shepherd. Now, mind you, the good shepherd also gives us a warning. It says there's others that are the hirelings, and they don't care for the sheep. You know, there's people who don't care for the sheep. We got people wanting to turn our nation upside down. They don't care that we're a nation founded on Christian principles. They want to change that. Or they want us to believe that, no, it wasn't. There's too much ingrained in our nation's history to say otherwise. And we've done too much good. Yeah, refine us, O Heavenly Father. Forgive us where we've sinned as a nation, but help us in every one of our communities to live out and to be the Christian nation you would have us to be. I am saddened when I hear that in England today, there's places where you can go that if you were on the street and you proclaimed Jesus Christ and started to preach on the street, or even to have a prayer, and that could be for different reasons, but that you couldn't witness because they do not want to offend the Muslim community that has grown so large. Did you know that in Dear, and this is a nation strongly, you know, the Queen and King of England, one of their main priorities is to be the defender of the faith, the Christian faith. It's not built like us. But for me to hear that in what was Dearborn, Michigan, a huge Muslim population, did you know that it used to be filled with many from Syria, Syrian Christians? Did you hear that? But over time, it has been transformed into a Muslim community. Now, I'm for freedom of religion, folks, but I'm also for us assimilating people into this great nation, and for us keeping our identity as a Christian nation. In Minneapolis, they have now allowed the call to Muslim prayer, the call to prayer, to go out 5 times a day, even at 11 p.m. at night and 3 a.m. in the morning at some times. I don't think that's going to happen here, but I'm sure people in Minneapolis thought that'd never happen there. But let me tell you, I'd pull out what money I could and I'd buy the biggest loudspeakers I could, and I would proclaim at the end of their prayers, scripture reading and hymns to be blasted at that moment. Not to be mean, but to stand up. This is a great nation, but it's only great as you and I make it great in all our communities. And if we will attune ourselves to listening to the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, we don't need any kings. We don't need any presidents. We don't need any rulers in this world, really, if everyone would make Jesus their ruler. But sin and evil abides while we're still on this earth. But in heaven, Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, will sit on the throne. No one else. And His goodness will reign. Let us attune ourselves in relationship with Him and listen to the Good Shepherd and hear His voice. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for this great nation. Lord, forgive us where we have sinned as a nation. Forgive us where we have sinned in communities. Forgive us where we have sinned in the church. But Lord, let us attune our hearts to listen to You. You are the true Good Shepherd. Let us listen to Your word. Let it guide our principles. Let it guide our nation, and let us give thanks that even now people in Texas are calling upon your holy name. And Lord, let us celebrate that. Let us celebrate where leaders of this country celebrate our Christian identity. Let it truly be our identity, and that our nation falls on bended knee and humbles themselves before you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.